Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss of First Confessional Lutheran Parish, First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, and First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile. This morning we read the words of Jesus recorded in St. Matthew chapter 11, verse 6. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. When a church goes bad, whose fault is it? Should we blame the preachers, or should we blame the people? Now, it is true that pastors will often come into congregations that have heard the true word of God, and these pastors have their heads filled with all sorts of new ideas, false teachings, and they proceed to lead the people away from the truth into error. But it is also true that people will look for pastors to teach them what their itching ears want to hear. Jesus said, "And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." This applies equally to both preachers and hearers. The preachers should not become weary of preaching Christ crucified for sinners, and the people in the pew should not tire of listening to the gospel by which they are saved eternally. The Christian gospel offends people. And sometimes Christians forget this, and they fall into much trouble on account of that. The gospel is the good news that God forgives us of all our sins freely, for the sake of Christ's holy obedience all the way to the death on the cross. Now, this is good news, but it means that we are sinners who need to be forgiven, and it also means that we cannot do anything to win God's forgiveness for ourselves. So the gospel is for people who admit their need and their spiritual poverty. But this is not an easy admission to make. People will imagine that they need something more than they need the forgiveness of their sins. And then when they discover that need, they reject Jesus the Savior for a new Jesus that they regard as more valuable. And that is what it means to be offended by Jesus. Preachers are easily offended by Jesus. When you represent Jesus, you may not rely on your own personality or persuasive powers. On the contrary, the preacher must consciously deny that he has anything of his own to offer anyone. He's only a spokesman for Jesus. Commenting on the meaning of the words, "Let a man so consider us as ministers of Christ," as recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Martin Luther writes, "So all apostles and bishops are ministers of Christ, that is, preachers, messengers, officers of Christ, sent to the people with his message. The meaning of the verse then is, let every individual take heed not to institute another leader, to set up another Lord, to constitute another Christ. Rather, be unanimously loyal to the one and only Christ. For we apostles are not your lords, nor your masters. We are not your leaders. We do not preach our own interest, nor teach our own doctrines. We do not seek to have you obey us, or give us allegiance and accept our doctrine. No, indeed. We are messengers and ministers of him who is your master, your Lord, and leader. We preach his word, enlist men to follow his commandments, and lead only into obedience. And in this light should you regard us, expecting of us nothing else than to bring the message." So far, Luther. The only authority the preacher has is the authority to speak on Christ's behalf. Any pastor who demands more authority than that is setting himself above Christ. But the power of Christ has always been hidden under the appearance of weakness. As a little baby lying in a manger, Jesus remained the Lord God by whom the whole universe is sustained. As he cried out in pain on the cross, the whole world remained under his power. The power of the gospel cannot be seen. It is always hidden under weakness. Consider St. John the Baptist. He was a great gospel preacher, and he refused to tailor God's word to suit the powers that be. That's what landed him in jail. From prison, he sent his disciples to Jesus to ask him some questions. It appeared as if John had lost his confidence. He had identified Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He preached Jesus with great boldness, and now his disciples were asking Jesus if he really was the promised Savior. It's easy to take offense at Jesus, and this is why Jesus says, "And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." John was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. When Elizabeth heard that Mary would give birth to the Savior, John leaped for joy 3 months before he was born. Who says that infants can't have faith? Of course they can. It's much harder with adults. John's faith was stronger before he was born than it was when he was languishing in Herod's prison waiting to be put to death. And maybe that's what brought him some doubt. How could the bold gospel preacher have doubts about what he preached? Jesus said he was the greatest man born of a woman, yet he had doubts when he was suffering. And so he sent his disciples to Jesus, and Jesus told those men to tell John the things they could see and hear for themselves. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me, Jesus said. He reminded John's disciples of the clear fact that he had fulfilled what the scriptures predicated of the Messiah so that they could conclude without any doubt that he was indeed the Christ. He was answering John's question by showing him how the Bible was fulfilled. But more than that, he was addressing the reason John had doubts. He said, "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." The word for offended is much stronger in the original than it is in the English. It doesn't simply mean to be upset. It means to stumble and fall. St. Peter, quoting Isaiah, refers to Jesus as a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, 1 Peter 2, verse 8. And St. Paul explains why this is so. He writes of unbelieving Israel, "But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness." Why? "Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame.'" Romans 9:31-33. The most offensive thing about Jesus is what Christians love the most. Jesus teaches us to believe that he and he alone can make us rich and successful by clothing us in the robe of his righteousness. This is the gospel that Jesus preached to the poor, but it offends the rich. Those who believe in their own goodness stumble and fall when they hear the gospel of Christ because they are offended by the very idea that they are condemned sinners. They are offended by the claim that all of their good deeds offered so piously and sincerely to God are nothing but filthiness and deceit. Christ offends the spiritually rich. The gospel is intended for the poor and the weak. As Mary said in the words of her Magnificat, "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted those of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away." John was in prison. He was afraid. Herod would soon put him to death. His faith was undergoing a terrible test. Why would God let him die if the gospel he preached was true? And why should Christians suffer when the unbelieving world appears to have it made? And how can we explain the apparent injustice built right into the nature of things if God is indeed in charge of this world? And to these and similar questions, Jesus offers himself as justice before God. He offers himself as the answer to every injustice. And he makes himself our righteousness and says to us today, as he said to John the Baptist, "Do not be offended by me." The true blessing of being a Christian isn't being popular with the crowd. Oh, John drew the crowds. That's one of the reasons Herod threw him in prison. He had too much influence. He didn't mince words. He was courageous, but even a courageous man can have doubts. And there he languished in prison and must have wondered if his ministry hadn't been a colossal failure. The Apostle Paul writes, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." It doesn't matter whether John is in prison or free. It doesn't even matter if people have believed him or rejected him. The only thing that matters, the only thing, is whether or not he preached the truth. Was he faithful? That is all any preacher needs to know. And Jesus answered him. He said, "Yes, you go back and tell John he was a faithful preacher. You tell him what you see and hear. You tell him that his preaching was true." And that's the only thing that matters. And I'll tell you why the preaching of the true gospel is the most important thing a preacher does. It's because hearing and believing the true gospel is the most important thing there is. After beautifully describing the riches of the Christmas gospel, the hymnist Paul Gerhardt says it very simply. "The world may hold her wealth and gold, but thou, my heart, keep Christ as thy true treasure. To him hold fast until at last a crown be thine, an honor in full measure." Ah, but we want to be honored right now and right here. We want a religion that won't interfere with our jobs, that won't put any pressure on our relationships, that won't require us to take a stand against the world. I'll never forget the words of a lady at my first parish who became so exasperated by my refusal to join with the preachers in the other churches in the community in some kind of activity that would have compromised our confession of the pure gospel. She said to me, "Pastor, why do we always have to be different from everyone else?" I've thought of those words over the years. And I thought, why would we want to be like everyone else? Why would a Christian want to follow the crowd? How could there be anything more precious than the blood and righteousness of Jesus, by which we poor sinners are made into wealthy saints? Let us pray that we may never stumble in unbelief at this treasure, but rather glory in Christ's birth, life, and death for us all, that we may be glorified with him when he returns to judge the living and the dead. We thank you for being with us on Christ for Us this morning. We'd also like to invite you to the Sunday services at our parish. We have church at 8 o'clock every Sunday morning at First American in Mayville, at 10:30 every Sunday morning at Grace in Crookston, Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, and we also have church at noon at First Devanger Lutheran Church in Fertile. And for Christmas Eve, you're invited to Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston for a 6 o'clock in the evening service on December the 24th. And on December the 25th, Christmas morning, 9 o'clock at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville. It is our privilege and pleasure to bring Christ for Us to you every Sunday morning on this broadcast. And if you have any questions about our parish, about what we believe, teach, and confess, log on to christforus.org and read some sermons. Email me, Pastor Rolf Preuss, with any questions that you may have. Please tune in next Sunday morning for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.